I would want to request once again, as always, that please let's switch off our cellular phones so that they don't needlessly interfere with our process. Comrade Deputy Minister, welcome. The chairperson of the board, the leadership of SABC, National Treasury, and also the AG. We first want to apologize. Oh, yeah, and SIU. We want to apologize that we're starting now. I don't want to say we're starting late, that we're only starting now. If it was not for voting in the House on the last item, I'm sure we could have started more than an hour ago. But unfortunately, our engagement tonight just coincided with those items in the House. Our sincerest apology. I'm sure you'll appreciate that comrades this side are quite tired themselves. So if you can have an early evening, the better. So we'll really be in your hands in terms of how long we stay here. Otherwise, from our side, we would want to have as early a night as possible. Comrade Deputy Minister, I think what would do is to start by introduction, because we haven't met with the new board, members of the new board. I understand there are new people in management, and of course the SIU can also introduce themselves, National Treasury, and also the Auditor General, and then comrades can introduce themselves, and then we can get into the business of the day.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and members of the Standing Committee on Public Accounts. Together with me is the acting DG of the department, Dr. Buluka.
No, Comrade Deputy, I think if you could just introduce yourself and let everybody else introduce themselves.
All right, thank you. My name is Pinky Kikama. I'm the Deputy Minister of the Department of Communications, and I would also wish to apologize for the Minister, but I hope you have a written apology because of ill health. Thank you.
Good evening, honourable members. My name is Bongo Musa Makatsini. I'm the chairperson of the SABC board.
Good evening, honourable members. My name is Matota Mtakwe, the CEO for the SABC.
Good evening, honourable members. My name is Yolande van Biljon. I'm the chief financial officer of the SABC.
Good evening, honourable members. I'm Michael Markovitz. I'm a member of the SBC board and chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee.
Good evening, honourable members. My name is Tikeledi Tendisa, the chief financial officer for Department of Communication.
Good evening, honourable members and chair. My name is Mashiru Buluka. I'm the acting director general of the Department of Communication. Thanks.
Good evening. Good evening, honourable members. My name is Makodi Mohope. I'm the Chief Governance Officer at SIU.
Good evening, honourable members. I'm Jerome Wells, Chief Legal Counsel with the SIU.
Good evening, honourable members. I'm Jerome Shaba, Senior Forensic Lawyer at SIU.
Senior Forensic Lawyer, SIU.
Good evening, honourable members. My name is Andy Mutibi. I'm the head of SIU.
Good
evening, Honourable Members. Gina Howes, Program Manager for SABC at the SIU.
Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, my name is Mlimandela Ndamase in the Ministry of Communications.
Good evening, Honourable Members. My name is Pindile Fumazonke from the Department of Communications, responsible for the oversight of entities. Thanks.
Good evening, Honourable Members. My name is Tebatu Chokwe, Minister, DOC.
Good evening, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, Advocate Moss Mpaha, Advisor Minister, Communications.
Good evening, DM and Members. My name is Dr. Telemoyem, Advisor to Minister.
At the back.
Good evening, Chair. My name is Ayanda Kishe, responsible for parliamentary liaison. Thanks.
Good evening, Honourable Members. My name is James Shikwambana, SABC Western Cape.
Good evening, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Andy Nokanta. I'm with the SABC local office in Seapoint.
Right.
Good evening, Honourable Members. My name is Gillian Wilson. I'm from Public Finance in the National Treasury, Chief Director.
Good evening, Honourable Members. My name is Rose Mahlaule from Treasury OCPO.
Right.
Good evening, Deputy Minister. Evening, Members. My name is Jacob Rakosa. I'm with the Auditor General's Office.
Good evening, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, colleagues. My name is Andries Segeto. I'm from the Office of the Auditor General, the Business Executive responsible for, amongst others, the Communications Portfolio.
Right, thanks very much. Comrades, we introduce ourselves. Let's start in the Free State.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's an excellent choice of province. My name is David Ross, member of the committee.
Good evening, Chairperson. Members, my name is Miyame Zilipoy.
Good evening, Chair. My name is Saki Keka and I'm a member of this committee.
Good evening, Chair. My name is Tim Bradiset, a Tired Scopa member from the victorious Currie Cup province of KwaZulu-Natal. Thank you.
Madame Chef Tombovio Mende, member of SCOPA.
Dumelang, lebitso la ka thapelo tshilwane le lokola committee ya SCOPA.
Olweni igama lami nguNthabiso Nkunyo, member of the committee.
All right, thanks very much. I'm Comrade Temba Gudi. I chair the committee. Comrade Deputy Minister, we had a number of interactions with the SABC. I think the last time was during the tenure of the interim board. We had a number of meetings here in Cape Town, as well as at the headquarters of the SABC as part of our efforts to assist in the task of helping the SABC to get its footing right. At that time, and it appears even now it's still the case, one of the key issues was around irregular expenditure, which had arisen in terms of its quantum when the Auditor General took over the auditing of But of course, the issues around cash flow were there. The issues around instability at management level, interaction with the staff, and in those interactions, I think three things stood out. Firstly, it was the interim board. We were very happy and encouraged in our interactions with them. Secondly, there was a company called Sekela Kabiso. I'm mentioning it because of the many contracts that they had. They were all focused on assisting the SABC to deal with matters of irregular expenditure. And round about our last meetings was when the SIU came into the picture. We even had the SIU and the SABC coming to Cape Town to talk to us. Now, we are meeting today. It does look like some of those talking points that were there then are still very much a part of our agenda today. With the very real possibility, or is it a probability, of some of your employees losing their jobs. And I was just noting for myself, a few weeks after the job summit, one of those resolutions was, let's preserve jobs. I do want to say that our decision to call the SABC amongst a number of other entities was to say that the work and the effort that we did should not be left hanging. We do need to touch base with the SABC to get a sense of what happened to the momentum that we had left there. Give us a better picture of what is happening at the SABC. Now, we have received documents from yourselves in relation to the issues that we had said should form the basis of our interaction. There are documents from the SABC, but there is also a submission from the SIU. So in terms of how we have sought to deal with these matters, Comrade Deputy Minister, we have said we would want to give the SIU the opportunity to present first, because they are merely giving us information. We'll then pass over to our substantive engagements, unless comrades have issues they would like to raise from whatever the SIU is going to present. And then once they are done, we'll then get into matters SABC, and Comrade Mente is going to lead us on that, and then other interventions from comrades, and then we're done. So can we take it that way? That's fine. If that is our common understanding, I'll hand over to Advocate Mutimi to take us through their presentation. When they came in, we said the situation at the SABC is urgent. We would want them to do their work with that sense of urgency. So we'd like to hear from them how far they've gone.
Now, thank you very much. Once more, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Honourable Deputy Minister. We appreciate the opportunity to come and present to the committee on where we are with the investigations into the SABC. Just to indicate, Chair, that we did take into account what the committee indicated, that we needed to move and move with speed. And that was really the push, without obviously compromising any of the investigation process that we focused at. The last time we presented to the committee was prior to the proclamation being signed off. The proclamation was signed and gazetted on the 1st of September 2017. And as we continued with the presentation, there was another aspect that came to our attention, allegations around the security contract, and that necessitated us to then extend the proclamation. It was extended and gazetted on the 6th of July 2018. And that enabled us to then also focus on that aspect of the security contract. just to also note is that as part of our approach into investigations, we from time to time meet and update the accounting authority so that they are aware where we are, and so that when they receive the invoice for the work we've done, they know what the work has entailed. In that regard, the last interaction we had with the board was on the 31st of October 2018, so which is last week, Wednesday. The presentation that we are presenting to the committee is pretty much similar to what we presented to the board. So to that extent, there would be no surprises on the part of what we have presented to the board. We've circulated the presentation, Chair, so I'll just go through the slides. Slide number two indicates the process that we have followed on phase one. We did a detailed investigation and we completed that on the 15th of December 2017. Part of the investigations is to do hearings, what you would call interviews, in terms of our legislation, and there are some referrals that we've done, and we did the investigation report and closures. On the extreme right, you would see there that we have since submitted the interim report to the president, and that was submitted on the 21st of September 2018. The word interim obviously just means that clearly it's not a final report, and it assumes that there are some of the matters that are still ongoing in terms of the investigations, but the matters that are dealt with in that interim report and the findings that are contained in that report are final. So to that extent, that interim report is almost final in the sense that the matters that are contained in there are final in terms of findings. So, and we did that simply because we needed to formally table what the outcomes were in the interest of urgency around this investigation. We have styled our presentation in terms of the phase. We've scoped this investigation in terms of phase one and phase two, simply because of the volume of the matters to be investigated. And that point is captured on slide number four, in terms of the phase approach that we have adopted. This presentation to the committee summarizes the outcomes of the 18 matters that we investigated in phase one, and will provide an update on the status of all phase two matters as covered by the proclamation. We'll also present on the additional proclamation that I referred to, and that proclamation extended the initial proclamation simply because the allegations that came around the security contract were not scoped in the initial proclamation. Slide number five. The evidence thus far indicated that there were irregularities in awarding of the following contracts. And these are the contracts that were specified in the proclamation itself. Vision View Productions, Sikela Kabiso, that the chairperson you referred to, Lona Vision, Lezaf Consulting, Geconomics, which trades as Infonomics, Asad Dasana, Foxton Communicating, and Mott McDonald. Right, the status of the phase one investigation, evidence obtained also indicated that there were irregularities in the awarding of the success fee to Mr. Musvenin, as well as various appointments and salary increases awarded to various employees by Mr. Musvenin. SIU also confirmed in this regard, we went through the public protector report, we went through it, and we also confirmed that the following appointments of staff, and there were also some salary increases that were irregular, specifically Ms. Suli Mutweni, Ms. Tobekile Kumalo, and Ms. Guga Duda. We found in some instances no evidence to support the allegations of irregularities regarding other appointments. The bottom line here is that those other appointments would have been effected in line with the corporation's policies. Slide number seven. As a result of the investigations conducted, we then put together what we call court-ready evidence, which was gathered and compiled, along with draft charges for about 36 matters in respect of the outcomes of the investigations. Those matters are detailed below. Some of them consist of civil litigation, and we'll come back to that. That was instituted in five matters, with additional three matters that are currently at, submitted to council, and they are underway being considered. The provision of evidence to SABC to assist in defending in one civil matter, we'll mention that later. We have so far made four criminal referrals and about 23 disciplinary referrals. Slide number eight. The investigation has produced evidence to initiate civil litigation instituted in the name of SIU and SABC in five High Court matters to the value of just over 166 million. And we have referred three matters to counsel who are preparing court papers to date. The SIU also provided evidence to defend the Asante Sana claim to the value of 350,000. The date is there, 19th March 2018. The slide, the graph there, or the diagram, just includes some of the civil matters to studying, and those are the ones where court papers have been served, and we are already in court, and as you can see, they've got case numbers. The one around George Saudi Motsweni to the value of 21 million, case number 18/4253. We've referred that on the 7th of February 2018. Sigala Kaviso as well, the value of litigation, which is really the contract value, to the value of 9.8 million, case number 17/49870, referral date 25 April 2018. Vision View, value 52 million. Case number 18/15870, 23 April 2018, the referral date. Lona Vision and James Aguma, the total value of the claim, 62 million,
7 with a case number 1749514, referral date 27 June. The next slide, Chairperson, those that are really marked confidential is simply because the papers have not been served and issued yet. They're not in court yet. But those are the values that are indicated, and the case numbers are still to be advised. The referral dates are indicated on the extreme right, the first one, 4th April, and another one, 8th August 2018. The one in the middle, we're mentioning it there simply because there's a case number, it's already in court, Audrey Rapela, to the value of 20 million. It was referred on the 19th of September 2018. The other one, which we are awaiting just scheduling in court, to the value of about 144 million, it was referred on the 26th of October 2018. Chairperson, all of these values, simply because the bottom line is that they found that they have been irregularly awarded, so by implication, or it follows that the values that are indicated would have been irregularly expended. We indicated that we referred matters to NPA. The investigation on slide number 10, Chairperson and members, the investigation has produced evidence to support about 4 criminal referrals to the National Prosecuting Authority. The details of the matter, the one that's below, we are mentioning it simply because the matter is at court already. And this is one of the areas really which we were pleased to see the turnaround times on the part of the NPA, where we have referred matters and it was turned around quite quickly. The matter is in court, and as you can see, it's around, the name is Suli Miranda Muzweni. She was charged, criminally charged with fraud. The referral date was 27 March 2018. And the trial date has already been set down for 22 November 2018. Just for the record, we have been interacting with the NPA. We would like to see improved turnaround times of this nature, simply because the more we delay in taking action, is the more that we would lose the impact that we would really want to effect. In respect of the other three matters, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, those involve a private company, the director and 2 former SABC executives. The combined value of this case is approximately about 12 million. The charges are fraud and contraventions of the Companies Act. We do not mention them there simply because that they have not been charged as yet, they have not appeared in court. These referrals were made in May and in September of this year. We are hopeful that given our interaction with NPA, we are going to see quick turnaround times. Slide number 11, the investigation has produced evidence to support the following 23 disciplinary referrals. We've already handed over against 6 SABC executives and 8 SABC officials. The number there will not necessarily reconcile with 23. 23 relates to almost focus areas, almost like counts of charges against those 14 individuals, 6 executives and 8 officials. The impact of the SIU disciplinary referrals has seen the exit of the following employees. 5 SABC executives are no longer with SABC as we speak. This is really pleasing to see that on the part of the corporation, action has been taken based on the evidentiary material submitted. On the 5 executives, 1 was found guilty of disciplinary charges and dismissed. 1 found guilty of disciplinary charges, final written warning was issued, and then the executive resigned. 2 of them resigned in the face of the SIU disciplinary referral. 1 contract expired and it was not renewed. 2 SABC officials were dismissed. two found guilty of disciplinary charges and dismissed chairs and members. Slide number 14, it's really a diagrammatic depiction of all of those. We're mentioning the names there simply because the actions have been taken. Kubendran Padeachi, his actions, disciplinary actions related to irregular activities around the Vision View contract. His position was the Acting Group Executive Technology. Referral date, 29 November 2017. This person resigned in the face of the disciplinary process on the 31st of May 2018. Suli Miranda Mutsweni, this is the one where there's also criminal charges. They relate to the award of SABC Foundation Bursary. She was the group executive of sport. The referral date is 29 March 2018. She has since been dismissed. The next slide, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The investigation produced evidence in support of the following disciplinary process. Bessie Tugwana, in relation to Vision View, she was the acting chief operating officer. Referral date, 26 March 2018. The employment contract expired on the 31st March 2018 and was not renewed, simply because there were those allegations. But once the contract has expired, you can't really, because the relationship of employer-employee ends, so we can't really take disciplinary action. Simon Mulauzi, his misconduct related to Vision View, Sikela Klabi, Sovi Economics. He was the head of procurement, SABC Radio Park. The dates of referrals are there, 9th April, May, June. He was dismissed. We're informed that he's lodged an appeal. We'll see how that unfolds. The next one is Audrey Rapela. The misconduct related to Sikela Kaviso and Geconomics. She was the acting chief financial officer. Those are the referral dates, 7 May, 29 June. Resigned in the face of disciplinary action on 10 July 2018. Anand Mudlia, misconduct related to Vision View. He was the group secretary. Referral date, 30 May 2018. Was found guilty. Final written warning issued. Slide number 15, Chifiwa Molaudi, relating to Geconomics. He was the group executive's commercial enterprises. We referred that on the 17th of July. He was found guilty, final written warning issued. He has since resigned. Ayanda Mkize, misconduct relating to Geconomics. This person is the general manager, supply chain management, governance, and special projects. Referral made on the 17th of July 2018. This person was dismissed on 17 October 2018. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that brings us to the end of the area dealing with the disciplinary matters, disciplinary referrals. We now get into some detail, or high-level detail, so to speak, on the civil matters, on the contracts that we indicated that we found that they were irregularly awarded. Lona Vision, it was contracted with regard to handling of TV licenses. We have instituted the matter so that the contract is to be set aside by the High Court. On the 11th of May, we submitted evidence to the SABC attorney's worksman in support of a civil claim against Lona Vision and Aguma to recover about 62.7 million. That would be what called just an equitable award. We'll then hear what the court has to award in terms of that value. The SABC has issued summons against both parties, and the SIU has filed an application to join the proceedings. Lona Vision, I'm informed that they are surprisingly opposing SIU to join as a party. The reasons, as far as we are concerned, are irrational, and we'll submit that to the court, that we would like to be a core applicant in this matter, together with SABC. The heads of agreement are being filed. We await the allocation of a date of hearing of this intervention. The last bullet point, we're really just indicating to the Honorable Committee that because our interest is to see that these matters are expedited, we have initiated an engagement with the judges' presidents in various high courts. There's a process that they are able to put in place in terms of matters identified, so that these matters can be expedited. So the judges' presidents have received us favorably. So in every matter where we approach them that we need to expedite, the judge has got what they call a fast-track program, and we engage with the counsel of the other party so that we are not faced with unnecessary interlocutory applications and all of that. So the judge gives it a special attention. So we are hoping that will really help in expediting the matter. And you'll see that we make a similar point in all of the cases. The next one is Vision View Production. This was a contract relating to multi-purpose studio. There, on the 24th of April 2018, SIU and SABC filed a notice of motion to have the contract between itself and Vision View set aside. Vision View filed its answering affidavit on the 29th of May 2018. A replying affidavit will be served, or was served, by the 12th of June 2018. To date, our records or investigation reveals that SABC has paid Vision View about 34 million of the total contract amounting to 52 million. Heads of arguments filed, and the matter was heard on the 5th of November, and it was postponed to the 9th of November 2018 for judgment. This is one of the matters, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that we are really pleased to see that it's been expedited. So we are hoping that on the 9th of November, which is Friday, that the judgment will hopefully be delivered. Council Terry Mudau and Jason Mitchell are assisting us in that. On the Sitelang Chaviso matter, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, similarly, we have instituted action for civil recovery. But as you can see on that first bullet point, slide number 18, both SABC and SIU jointly referred the matter to court for reviewing and setting aside, there's a word that we use there, the latest contract, which was entered into with Sikela Gabiso on 23 December 2016 to the value of about 9.8 million. Chairperson, Honorable Chair, members, you did mention that they had several contracts with SABC. We've gone through those several contracts previously, and we've made a finding that it would really not be worth our while to pursue all of those because they've expired, and to pursue them may not be really of value. But this is the one that will really make the impact. And I want my colleague just to expand a bit because of in the previous presentation, we made some few points. I'll pause here a bit so that she can.
Thank you, sir. Just to clarify, so all the contracts in total were valued at 31.247.240 million. And as the head has said, we focused on the most recent contract, which is where there was not full payment made as yet, so there is prospects of recovery there. And in addition to this, we also did report to the SABC that all that expenditure to the value of 31 million, just over that, entered into with those contracts between SABC and Sinclair Gobiso were irregular, and that they needed to be reported to the AG and National Treasury. an additional outcome, just to summarize, for Sekwele Kobisa was there were three disciplinaries resulting from that investigation as well. Two of those officials, Mr. Monowitzi and Mr. Rafael, are also no longer in the SABC as a result of that evidence that was referred for disciplinary action. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. In this matter, the update is that the notice of motion was issued on the 22nd December 2017 against Sekwele Kobisa in the High Court of South Africa, Gauteng Local Division, Johannesburg, case number 7/498/70. The status of the civil litigation is that the parties are currently exchanging pleadings. In addition, an application was filed to join the SIU into these proceedings. As the SIU application was heard on the 5th of June, and the application to join the proceedings was successful. All affidavits have been filed, and the heads of argument are due next. Once filed, the hearing date will be allocated. Similarly, in this matter, we have engaged the Judge President so that we can expedite the matter. Slide number 19. It's the matter relating to the civil recovery against Mr. Motsweneng around the success fees. The SIU and SABC jointly issued summons on the 5th February 2018 in the High Court of South Africa, Housing Local Division, Johannesburg against Mr. Motsweneng. The civil case consists of two claims. Firstly, for the recovery of 11.5 million in terms of the success fee that was paid, and secondly, for the recovery of 10.2 million for the irregular appointment and salary increments that he effected, suspensions and unlawful terminations of employment. So all of that have been quantified to that amount. The civil litigation process is underway, and case number 10/18/04250. Mr. Motsweneng entered an appearance to defend and raised an exception to the particulars of claim. We are waiting in this event the date for arguments for the exception, and SIU to request an expedited court date as well in this matter. In this area, our evidence have revealed that there were no disciplinary referrals made thus far. However, obviously there's still investigations ongoing. Questioning in terms of SIU Act, this is really in terms of our legislation when we do the interviews. So ongoing investigation, there might still be outcomes in that regard. The next slide, number 20, is Ms. Motsweneng, the fraud case that we referred to. The evidence obtained indicated that offence of fraud was committed in relation to the 11 fraudulent travel claims that Ms. Motsweneng and her relatives benefited from to the value of about 45,000 rand. The evidence obtained was referred to the National Prosecuting Authority on the 5th of April 2018. And in this regard, we are working with SAPS Commercial Unit, registered the case, and as we said, it was then enrolled. The case number is 156/521/2018, and on the 30 May she appeared. This is how it was fast tracked. She appeared again on the 20th of June, and the court case was postponed to 26 July 2018 for further particulars. The criminal case has been set down for the 22nd of November 2018. We are working closely with SAPS and NPA, and will continue to monitor the progress. Civil recovery to the amount of 45,000 and any other monies that may be owed by Motsweneng to SABC will be dealt with as part of the pending criminal processes. We say civil there, Chairperson, but because there is a possibility that during the criminal process, if there's any outcome, the Criminal Procedure Act also makes a provision that the court, the criminal court, could order that the accused, pay back certain amounts. So we'll consider that process in that case so that we save time and not again start off a recovery process. Slide 21, Chairperson, we
then give the Honourable Committee update on the multi-choice contract. SIU has determined that the contract with multi-choice was ending in July 2018. A new contract has been entered into from 1 September 2018 for about 5 years. The investigation was focusing on the following areas: the legality of the agreement, including subsequent amendments, including whether any provision of the following were contravened or not complied with the relevant encryption policy or related policies, Broadcasting Act, any code of conduct for broadcasting services, JAMBOL as prescribed in the Electronic Communications Act, the prevention and combating of corrupt activities, and the Public Finance Management Act. So our investigation will focus around that, and if there's any non-compliance with those, we'll then pronounce ourselves and make findings. We'll also look at the role played by individuals involved in the process and whether any of them benefited actually. We'll also look at whether the agreement was viable and or in the best interest of SABC, and whether the SABC has in fact received all payments due to it. Good progress has been made, and numerous affidavits and other evidence have been obtained from a wide spectrum of witnesses. Recently, we interviewed the chairperson of the Finance Committee, who was at the time the minister. So we're making good progress in this regard. Important additional issues have been identified in the process, which are also being pursued. This includes issues such as whether multi-choice and or the SABC own delegate or negotiation team has fraudulently induced the SABC board into the approval of the agreement by means of failure to disclose information or material significant to them. Chairperson, that would then really be the status around phase one. I will now move on. Most of those phase one matters have been included in the interim report that was submitted already to the president. We've been informed that the president has taken a decision to release all the SIU reports to the state institutions, and that was done in line with our new strategy of following up on the referrals that we have made. We would like to know whether state institutions are acting upon our referrals. So this may just be one of those reports that would be referred to the SABC, similar to find out how far the matters that have been referred are, including the civil recoveries. We'll now move on to phase two of the project. The detailed investigation has commenced in accordance with our legislation. We'll also indicate some of the referrals that we are likely to make. We are envisaging that the final report would be submitted for phase two on the 30th of April 2019. But there's one matter in this phase two which we'll come to, relating to the security contract, where we will fast track the report. So phase two investigations includes the TNA, the SABC security tender, that's the one that I was referring to, irregular appointments of about 7 SABC officials, irregular payment of bonuses, about 13 checks to senior managers, and 31 million paid for the 10,000 to 3124 staff, irregular expenditure, about 5 million SARS penalty which was incurred, validity of a sample of tax clearance certificate. We'll also look into a number of conflicts of interest. Slide number 26. We'll also look into what's called the legions payments of about 2.4 million paid to about 53 artists, SABC heritage and thank you concert to the value of about 27 million, Rapid Blue X Factor Season 1, irregular procurement of fees of SABC offices in Nelspruit, a regular payment of Mr. Motsweleng's 1.2 million legal fees and various allegations at the Northwest SABC office, including the appointments of the provincial general manager, the provincial news editor, officials doing business with SABC, that's conflict of interest, any corruption that we can find, abuse of SABC resources. Right, we just thought that we could give the Honorable Committee just some highlight around this security contract that we have investigated. The amendment to the proclamation, as I indicated, was published on the 6th of July. The proclamation number 19 of 2018, we can now, based on that proclamation, obviously use our powers. We have submitted a status update to the chairperson of the board on the 14th of September 2018. Correspondence was also provided on 10 October 2018, indicating an anticipated submission dates of the SIU presidential report, which are the interim report, 30th November 2018. We will be submitting that interim report in regard to this security contract, and a final report on all the matters in 31st March 2019. SIU's brief to Council delivered on 30 October 2018 to join the proceedings as the second applicant. This is where now the actual finding has been made. We have made a finding that there's irregularity in this contract. There's some litigation going on in court, and we are joining the proceedings as we would do with any of the investigations that we do, where we find that a contract was awarded irregularly, we would then seek to institute civil litigation to set the contract aside. So this is not out of the norm. So we will do exactly that. The case number, it's indicated there. It's already ongoing in the court. Slide number 28. This refers to the TNA breakfast contract. Well, like any others that we'll do, we'll also focus on any of the irregularities around this contract. We are informed and we have established that TNA has filed for liquidation, and the matter is currently in the liquidator's hands. But Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we have made a decision that our process is not going to end at the liquidation, because more often liquidations are really used to, taper and make sure that we don't move on and recover. We will determine who are the directors or who are any of the parties involved, so that we can move beyond the liquidation process and be able to reach out to those who are culpable. The TNA initiated arbitration proceedings against SABC. In this regard, I think it was during the interim board where the contract was cancelled. So based on that cancellation, the TNA initiated the proceedings in respect of losses to the amount of about 144 million. Allegedly, they say, or they allege that they suffered due to the repudiation by SABC. So we are joining those proceedings to ensure that we act with SABC in the interest of the corporation. As a result, and with a view to defend the claim, the SABC brought an application to have a contract reviewed and set aside. As I said, we are joining that proceedings. The SIU has obtained significant evidence to support the above-mentioned application and has submitted the brief to Council on the 26th of October 2018. As we indicate, the investigation is ongoing. We will focus just to expand on the irregularity of the contract. Any unlawful benefit TNA would have received from this irregular contract, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we have determined that there would have been irregular payments made to TNA during the run of this contract by other state institutions, either as sponsorships or any other format that they would have taken. We have determined all of those state institutions that would have paid those amounts, and those amounts are quite significant. So we are of the view that there's a link between this contract and those payments, and we have to determine the irregularity thereof so that we are able to then also institute processes to recover. Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, that brings us to the end of our presentation. We thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Advocate Mthimbi, for the presentation. Let me not preempt what my comrades are going to say, if there's anything they're going to say, but if it's clear and straightforward, we can move on to the other matters. But let me check, comrades, is there any question of clarity or any question arising out of the presentation? All right, I'll start with Mente, then, yeah, I'll just go. So it will be the four of you, and then we'll move on. Remember, this is just starter, it's not the main course. Yes, comrade.
Yeah. In light of the status, just on the on page 8, where there is on all the cases that you have given us the breakdown of how far is each of those. Just one, I'm curious to know if perhaps by January we could get another report in terms of feedback and then the current status of that time. Because I'm afraid that Parliament is going to close soon if we can put these things to rest before our term ends, Deputy Minister. And then on the page 12, there's someone who resigned. I think I picked up a couple of them. There's a couple of them that resigned in the face of DC. And then my worry becomes there's money involved. And the reason why they're actually resigning is they know they've taken money or they've given money unlawfully to other people. Did we recover any of those money? Thank you, Chief.
Or does the resignation mean the end of an investigation? Can you respond to that before I move on? No, I'll give you the opportunity.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the update, we will be willing to give the committee an update as indicated at any time that the committee would call on us. If it's specifically January, we will then come and indicate where we are. With regard to the employees who resign before they face disciplinary processes, this is a phenomenon that we face across government. In fact, in some of the matters or in some of the areas, an official would resign, and then the phenomenon that we'll all be aware of that would pop up in another department or another municipality and so on. With regard to public service, we are engaging the Department of Public Service and Administration and the PSC just so that we can put our heads together on how to address this phenomenon. Even if it ends up with, like we do with service providers, you know, where we could call it blacklist, you know, but it's still a thought. Honorable Chair and honorable members, we'll have to find a way of, in a legal way, to be able to do that, because they almost defeat the ends of justice, if you look at it closely. You know,
that's fine, but in relation to these resignations?
In relation to these resignations, the question, the answer is, yes, if they resign, the employer-employee relation ends, so we can't really take labor relations actions against them. But you will see that there are examples of those who resigned or left, for example, Aguma and so on, where there is a link where we have to recover. We then follow them civilly to recover matters that would have been lost by the corporation.
So in the case of Patayachi, is there anything that links him, or there is nothing and that's the end of it? I think that's the area of interest.
It's
page 12.
Yes, it's page 12, but we want to refer you to slide number 9. Slide number 9 makes mention of some of the values, and although we have said there that it's confidential, but I'm informed by my colleague that one of the matters, the one, the value of 52 million, involves that
gentleman.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah,
well, that's fine. Yes, complete.
Thank you, Chair. my question is along the line of Honourable Mentor. I'm glad to see that some that are resigning, where there is a civil link, you're following that up. What is the end game in terms of the civil action? Are you talking to the asset forfeiture unit? Are they involved? Because, you know, like Patayachi and Tungwana, to about 52 million rand, I'm sure they've, unless they've stuck that in an account somewhere, maybe they've bought a whole lot of nice stuff. Hopefully, that we can grab. Because, you know, in these sort of things, you normally find that people splash out on lots of nice assets. So if you could just give a comment on that. And then, I'm trying to get an idea. We've got two instances here where a disciplinary did happen, and the person received a final written warning. If I can refer you to page 16, Anant Mudliar, and where's the other one? Yes, and yeah, Anant Mudliar, there is another one. I do apologize.
Yeah, that's
I'm
page 14 and page 15. Mudliar and Mulaudi.
Yes. No, that was lodged in appeal. There were two here where they got a final written warning. And I want to know what was the nature of the offence that only warranted a final written warning. Can you maybe answer those two and then we'll carry on? So the outcome of civil action, hopefully, and then do you have answers on that? Because we have the SABC, maybe they know.
Chairperson and members, we can check that and verify. We don't have it ready at the moment. In terms of what the charges were.
But that's strange. You reported on this to the SABC, and they acted on your work, but you don't know the nature of the offence.
We can check that, and then we'll report. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Sorry, just bear with me. There was one other issue I needed to raise. Throughout your report, you refer to various time frames that have happened. For instance, on the 20th, and I'm just trying to track that we are staying on track on these matters. On the 20th on page 20, which is Vision View Productions, So the matter was set down for hearing on the 5th of November. That's 2 days ago. Did that happen? At the bottom of the page, did that happen? Just a yes or a no?
It says yes, and it's postponed to the 9th, which is Friday.
Postponed to the 9th, okay. Then, for instance, on the Sekela Kaviso CA Incorporated, down at the bottom of page 21, it said all affidavits have been filed and heads of argument are due on 2 November 2018. Did that happen?
Chairperson, I'm informed that it's in the process of being done. Yes.
In the process of being done? I thought it was supposed to be due on the 2nd of November. That's 5 days ago. You see, my point is this, how these things drift. And what are we doing to stop that drift? Okay, you can take that and maybe respond a bit later. But the big issue I want to get into is Mr. Montoneng. Now, on page 24, you go into the civil recoveries, 21 million rand. I certainly hope you can get some of that back. But the question that arises, have you detected criminal behavior on his part in terms of the MFMA, in terms of the Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act, PFMA, and. Have you detected any criminal action on his part? Can criminal action be taken against Mr. Motsuni?
Honorable Chair and members, as of now, we have not detected any criminal action. Those were mainly the irregularities that he committed in terms of not following policy, abusing his position at the corporation. I mean, if you irregularly increase people's salaries, irregular appointments, it could be that as the investigations unfold, we may then come up with the evidence in contravention of the combating of corruption, of corrupt activity.
Okay, let's stop there. Tell me something. Who is his direct superior? What's your name? Did he have a boss?
Chairperson, I wouldn't at the moment, just top of mind, know who was his direct report, but he might be have reported to the CEO.
I just want to stop there for a second, because the issue is that the Prevention of and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act specifies that certain persons must report irregular activity when they become aware of it. So you said that there's a lot of irregular activity, which I agree with, there's no criminal element. So is there a criminal element to whoever was surrounded by Swanning and didn't report it? Can that be investigated? Because somebody needs to... It cannot be right that somebody can steal 21 million rand. I mean, I don't know what the hell a success fee is. But anyway, can get 21 million rand out of a taxpayer-funded organization and everybody walks away. Because I don't know how many rands and cents in the rand you're going to get out of Montoneng. But somebody should have reported it in terms of pressure. Have you investigated that? Have you looked at that angle?
Chairperson, part of what we are doing is that whoever could have been responsible for either authorizing, if it was the board, we're looking at contravention of the Companies Act, which is either leading to, you know, declaration of delinquents and so on. But if there's any infractions around the Prevention or Combating of Corrupt Activities Act, if evidence comes up, we'll then obviously make a finding in that regard.
Advocate, you know what an enabling environment is, don't you? That is where, for instance, a woman knows her husband is abusing their children but doesn't report it. The most terrifying and horrible circumstance in our country. That is what PREC is trying to do. It's trying to stop the enabling environment. And I'm very concerned, and whilst you know I really appreciate your work, I'm very concerned that when I've raised this, it seems like something you hadn't really thought of. There was a network around Motswilling who, in terms of that particular act, and you know that act is very wide, if you're familiar with it, I'm sure you are, it refers to a whole range of people in any environment that should, when they become aware of irregularity, report it. So there are a whole range of people, surely, that surrounded Motswilling that should have said, something's wrong here, and gone. And I think the act says to the nearest police officer. That's what the act says. Go to the nearest police officer and say, and I'm very concerned that you aren't picking up on this, and I really need to, through you, ask that that also gets looked at, and certainly the board takes that seriously. That the enabling environment that allowed a man to take 21 million rand from taxpayers. And I promise you now, if we get 10 cents on the round, we'll be lucky out of it, if anything. And those enablers allowed it to happen. Chair, I'll leave it there for now. I know you want to move on. But can everybody have a response to that, Chair? This man cannot walk away, and he's going to, I assure you.
Well, I seem to be hearing you to be impressing it on the SIU and the board to focus on that aspect, and I'm taking that they've heard you. Yeah, come report.
And I wanted to walk on the same route we are walking to welcome the report of the SIU and be able to say this has been the first time since in the 25 years that you've seen such a performance. Congratulations.
Are you done? Oh, that's so unlike you. Okay.
Okay, Rose, thank you, Chairperson. Yes, perhaps I should join the accolades and thank you for the report. And if my memory serves me right, in the last engagement, we were very concerned when, I think that was on the 27th of June, is it 2017? Is it so long ago that we engaged with you in Johannesburg? And then we had a huge concern with regards to the presidential proclamations, you will remember, because it seems to be stuck at the presidential level, if I understand correctly, my assumption. Now, I see from your report tonight that we've made a lot of progress. It's been signed off, and as you in those days told me, it kickstarts the process in terms of your work. You cannot actually start get going without those people. Without the president signing off now. I think we have a changed climate, and it's been signed off, and it's encouraging. But in terms of your reports, in your first phase, you say there's an interim presidential report. And in the second one, it is a final presidential report. Now, in terms of your efforts to expedite the outcomes of your investigations, what would be the difference between the interim and the final report? In terms of the interim report that you've indicated is on the verge of being finalised, what is the position of the president now? The report goes back to the president, and what is the position? Does he advise the specific legal action to be taken, or do you advise him, and what is exactly the legal implications of that? That would be my first question.
Thank you, Chair. We've taken an approach because we've realized that most of the investigations, when we reported the last time, was that part of our strategy is to make sure that we turn around investigations as quickly as possible. But also we do not want to prejudice and compromise investigations. So our strategy says if the investigation would go beyond a 12 months, then by the 12th month we need to issue an interim report. So that is to make sure that we continuously, you know, show outcomes to the state institutions and to the president who signed the proclamation. So the status of the interim report, as I indicated, was that it's interim simply because the investigation is still going on. But the matters that are addressed in the interim report are final. So we do not go to the president and seek guidance in terms of what we have to do, what we need to do, The report says, as we would have indicated in phase one, if this is the finding around this contract, the interim report would say exactly that, that these are irregular and this is what we are doing to recover. So that's the difference. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm tempted just to latch on to my colleague, the Honourable Brother, says, with regards to extending the responsibility and attach personal responsibility in terms of irregular conduct. And certainly as a committee, we should note that there's also a huge political responsibility. And that in terms of who was the current minister in those days would be very interesting to note. And then also who was the senior top officials. Because what happened in the SABC, and that's quite clear to me, it was just the looting of an institution by the elite. And the elite should be, to a certain extent, and I agree with my colleague, that we should expand it to the elite. Who gave the instructions? Who authorized these looting of the institution, to my mind? And what was the role, example, for the internal audit? And perhaps look at those institutions that were supposed to bring a counter to the looting and to the malfeasance within the organization. So the attachment of personal responsibility in terms of civil recovery, I think that's a very valid point, and I think we need to ask you to give us some guidance in with regards to that. Chairperson, my last question, if I may, is just with regards to the contract of the SABC tender that you've alluded to us. And just to note that there was a press statement regarding this, and this is with regards to 185 million security contract. Can I proceed on that? You're well aware of this contract. And MNS attorneys, I think it was the attorneys for the SABC, it has been rumored to say that the SABC, and they are severely constrained in terms of finances, will have now problems because they awarded the contract to the second highest bidder in terms of points and not to the highest bidder. What would your opinion be in terms of this? Because it surely exacerbates the fiscal risk to the institution, which is currently cash-strapped, and we're going to speak about the going concern issues later on.
No, thank you, Jefferson. We've noted the point around other parties that would be involved in terms of those who may have given instructions or benefited. The investigation is still ongoing, and we will look at that. On the security contract, on slide number 27, that's the security contract that we are referring to, Chairperson. That's the one where the matter is already in court, and one with the company litigating is the company that is of the view that they should have been awarded the contract. So our investigation has revealed that there were irregularities in this process, and that is the part where we say if we join the litigation, we join it with the intention of getting the contract set aside, because there were irregularities in the supply chain process.
All right, Comrade Kagane, and then Comrade Kono.
Let me also join my colleagues in welcoming the report. Mine also is on the recovery. On page 14, on this page, C21, because in terms of the status, it says the contract has expired. Now, what is going to happen now that the contract has expired? Are we going to follow this DC and maybe get the money that he owed, that is us? That is the only question that I have, because I think the other one, Ross has dealt with it, or Honorable Ross has dealt with it, because I was worried about the issue of interim versus final report as to what is the situation. Are you going to wait for the president to make a final decision? But I'm happy that is with a response that whilst we're investigating, and there are issues that you want to act on, or we are expected to act on, we are acting on those issues. I'm happy about that one. What I need is just a response on this basic to one.
Honorable Chair and members, the slide number 9 on the presentation we made, that part that says confidential, the first part, the 52 million, includes Padayachi and Tugwana. So that part, it's a quantum that will be instituting action to recover from Padayachi and Tugwana. So they're not off the hook.
Right. Comrade Kuno.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question will be on page 8. The value of litigation, and you look at the amounts that are written there, they're actually very high amounts. My concern is that who is paying for this litigation? Is it the state, or is it the people that are?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. From a litigation perspective, if we institute litigation, we do pay, and ultimately, obviously, the state institution that would carry the costs. But at the end of the process, there's costs that are prayed for at the court so that the court can make an appropriate order as to costs. So that if an award is
all right,
awarded...
No, that's fine. So you
yeah.
pay your fees, SABC pays for its lawyers.
The concern is that how...
Did we correct that?
How
where we institute action, we do pay, but we recover from the state institution.
Well, same.
Yeah, okay.
The concern, Chairperson, is that that's why SABC is in financial distress, is because of this litigation or the money that they pay for the cost. But how is government going to... forfeiture the assets from the people that have wronged the government?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Member. In fact, I think the question was raised initially. Our interaction with NPA, because AFU falls under them, part of what we'd like to do is that in this instance, where, to use an example of Padayachi and Tugwana, if we want to recover 52 million, we do engage with NPA if there's opportunities of freezing and the assets at an early stage so that they are not lost to government. We consider to do that. But then we will be guided by the NPA in that regard. But ultimately, there may be an added point is that when we ask for order as to costs, we also make, the court could also order costs in to other parties so that they pay back the cost that we have incurred.
There's a say, Chairperson in Setswana, that says, but you are really making it long, 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 long. I think we have an anti-corruption task team, which is clear on what they're supposed to be achieving. And I don't see you working together with them. We are actually saying we are still going to refer this matter to the NPA, but there are no conclusions. So can we get progress reports in terms of how are you taking these cases that you are investigating? And coupled with that, I think on page 11, you did say that you had 23 disciplinary referrals, but you only talk about 8 officials. What happened to 11 officials? If you can clarify that. I know you said that, but it's really not clear.
Chairperson, in terms of the ACTT, we do work closely with all the entities in ACTT. Our legislation says when we find evidence pointing to a criminal offense, our legislation requires us to refer matters to NPA. That is the law. If we don't do that, we run the risk that we would lose cases on technicality. But once they are referred to NVA, we expect that the NVA, or the legislation says once it's referred, it has to be dealt with in accordance with the interests of justice and so on. So if the NVA refers them back into the ACTT, then it needs to be clear on who handles what. So we are really working closely with them to ensure that we speed up. On the on the 23 disciplinary cases, we did say that 23 is almost like you would say it's 23 counts of misconduct. It doesn't necessarily say 23 individuals. So in this regard, it's six executives, and some of those 23 would apply to them, and eight officials. Some of the 23 would apply to them. So I've just been informed now that almost about seven have been finalized, and seven are ongoing as we speak today.
The question will be on Auckland Park security. I think that's what Ndate Ross asked earlier on. And maybe to add on his question, there's been allegations that two of the officials were dismissed without a proper disciplinary hearing. So as much as we appreciate that you are expediting discipline, we also are interested to make sure that we don't
do we know who the officials are?
Is,
so that we can, maybe they can respond to specifics. We find that the circulating information is wrong, or at least is confirmed.
Yes, it was Ayanda, I forgot the surname, and the Mutibi as well. They said there were no disciplinary hearings. Mutibi was on sick leave when he was dismissed. So if you could talk to that. But also to emphasize what Comrade Mente started with, that it's a problem for government officials when they are disciplinary actions taken, they resign and nothing has been done. I don't know how can you help and to make sure that, I mean, you are a special investigating unit. And I think, as you are saying that you were working together with ACTT, it would have been easy to deal with them. Because after they get out of SABC, they go to other entities and departments, and nothing is done. So they keep on doing what they've been doing all along. So if you could really talk to that, because it's really, what is it? It's not a right situation.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, we did indicate that the current legal status in our country is that an employer-employee relationship is governed by the Labor Relations Act. And once an employee resigns, in fact, it's a legal moot point, whether if I resign, whether the employer can refuse me to resign. The legal status, as I can recall, is that the employer cannot refuse me to resign. So once I resign, then the employer-employee relationship is terminated. And as a result, all of those actions that could be taken by an employer cannot be taken anymore, including disciplinary process. And that is why we indicated earlier on that these employees who do that, it's almost like they're defeating the ends of justice. But it's unfortunate that the legal position is that the employer-employee relationship has terminated. You can't do anything from an employer, from an employment law perspective. But what we are saying, and this is where the ACTT also comes in, if we can link that there has been any loss to the state caused by a certain individual who has since resigned, then we take civil action to recover from them. In terms of what needs to happen, I think it's a bigger question, Chairperson, that I indicated, that what is it that as government we should do? If a person resigns from entity A and pops up in another entity, which is a government entity, our view is that we should still be able to pursue. But that's still a thought that still has to be looked at and probably documented as policy. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, that's fine. Can SABC respond to the issue of the two employees who are who may have been dismissed without a proper disciplinary process? One is Mkhize, Ayanda Mkhize, and Mutimi. Not this Mutimi. I'm sure the clan is bigger. I mean, these are fairly senior people. Surely we should remember them. What we're trying to find out, was there indeed a disciplinary process? That's what we want to find out.
Chairperson, if I may, I'll venture a response. Ayanda, we didn't conclude the disciplinary procedure. There was a decision made to rather dismiss her because she was in the process when she earned a salary every month. And we had reason to believe that there were active actions to delay the process continuously. So a decision was made to rather than proceed with a dismissal and then take it to the CCMA. At least then we would stop the outflow of money from the organization. With Simon, however, if memory serves, that disciplinary procedure was concluded. What happened was he did not submit, he was given an opportunity to submit documentation to the chairperson of the committee. He did not respond in the period of time. The chairperson then came back and said, if we did not get any further information from him, therefore the recommendation is that in the absence of anything else that he presents and given the evidence before us, he recommended that we proceeded with a dismissal, and on that basis he was then also dismissed.
No, that's fine. You want to make an addition?
Yes, I'd like to, Chair. Thank you. I think it's important to emphasize that in all of these cases, there was full compliance with the prescripts of the LRA. And obviously, we took advice from the ER department as well.
All right. No, that's fine. Thanks, Advocate Mutibi. I think one of the things that we miss always in our engagement is to get feedback of this nature about things that are practically being done in relation to specific instances of misconduct. However, the big question for me is how your work has impacted on behavior within SABC, so that it is not just limited to the individuals that are mentioned here. To what extent does it serve on those who are still there to send a message that ABCD can happen? But that might not be for you to respond to. I'm sure the SABC is the one that can, you know, talk to those things. Now, Comrade Deputy Minister, we had sought to engage because, like I said, firstly, we wanted to touch base and see what progress has been made subsequent to our engagement. But also because we looked at the report of the Auditor General, it did not make for good reading. And so it was important that we hear from you, but since the report is out, well, we'll use it as a basis for engagement. I will hand over to Comrade Mente to kickstart.
Maybe the Deputy Minister, or you cover that point towards the end, because the other point that we wanted to check, that is from SABC, is what you raised earlier on in terms of the momentum from the interim that is board that we had, because a number of things happened, and unfortunately there seems to be problems that is immediately after that. Apparently there's no continuity. Or maybe the DM will deal with that, or the chairperson of the new board will deal with that when they close. Because we want consistency, that is in terms of the work that we have done in the SABC. I'm excited about this report, because when we started, that is at the SABC, a number of people thought that we were just raising issues that is out of the air. Now that at least there is concrete evidence that a number of things happened that is at SAPC, it confirms that is our allegation at the time. I thought maybe before we deal with that is the new audit report, we need to deal with that is the outstanding issues that is that we were dealing with. I don't know how are we going to handle that part.
Yeah, no. There are two ways to do it. To address it in a narrow sense, and put it as a question and somebody responds to it. Or we deal with the issues that we'll be raising, because they will be answering and reflecting on whether or not we've been able to make progress or not. So I would prefer that we start. If at the end that question has not been answered through our interaction, then we'll allow them to talk directly to any specific issues that relate to the continuity that we're talking about. Sure. Right. Yes, Comrade.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, just to, or perhaps, and I think it will be proper for the chairperson of the board to answer the question of Comrade Kekana on, as from that time to now, what has been happening?
I thought you would deal with irregular expenditure.
Okay. Now, if you say so, let's continue.
Just follow my lead to see where it's going to.
Okay. You're the chair. I'm not. All right. Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson of the board and your delegation, I think you've seen how the SIU has been reporting. A thorough reporting with all the details in order for us and in order for South Africa to understand the issues that we're dealing with. Now, I'd like to know from you, firstly, who deals with the relations of Parliament from SABC and the Auditor General's findings? Who deals with that?
Honorable Chair, honorable members, thank you. When it comes to the reporting or engagement with Parliament, that process is driven by the board working with the Minister of Communications. So in terms of providing the updates on the progress we've made, we appear on a frequent basis in front of the for the Committee on Communication.
Right.
So I take take it you're saying it yourself.
Honourable Member, yes, it is.
That's proper. Did you receive the letter dated 26 October 2018 from SCOPA with then details how you should give us the information that we required from you? The letter that was inviting you here, and did you understand the context in which it was written?
Honourable Member, yes, I did receive the letter. We provided the information. Then there was a follow-up letter coming from the committee, which requested further details, which we then provided.
Would you please explain to us if ever you have provided the follow-up details that were requested? What did we request from you?
Let me pull the letter. The letter basically wanted us to indicate the dates of the incidents. It also wanted us to provide details of who is involved in those issues, amounts that were involved, and officials that were involved. It also wanted us to expand on the actions taken, the list of cases that have been investigated, and the further explanation on deviations. And then we responded to indicate exactly where those details were contained.
The Secretary of the Committee?
That's correct, Honorable Member.
But that's not what we have. That's absolutely not what we have. We have part of what we requested, which is company and the amount. We don't have the official involved. We don't have the consequence from your side. We don't have the current status, as the SIU was reporting that dismissed, ongoing, final written warning. We don't have such.
Let me request the CFO to provide further details.
No. She's saying the information that we requested was not sent to us for purposes of this engagement. So it's either you confirm that yes, the information was not sent, or you dispute that and prove that the information was forwarded to the committee.
Chair, may I respond? Honourable Member, the information per the bullet points weren't all available. They are not available. We have the supplier or service provider's name, and we have the amounts. We are in the process of trying to ascertain who are all the individuals who wronged in these cases. We have a little team who's been looking at each of these items on a line-by-line basis since we started focusing on the topic a few months ago. So we don't yet know who the individuals are. Hence, that covering memo that we wrote, speak in broad terms, because the process has started, but for a few, and as is listed in forensic investigations or that has been dealt with in SIU, we don't yet have individuals that need to be held responsible, and we're in the process of getting there.
Right.
Similarly, what will be the corrective action? We're not yet at this point
okay.
in time.
That's fine. That's okay. If you don't have the individual, then the corrective action will also follow. Yes, complete.
So, you are saying you just started the process. Do you have an action plan?
Yes, Honourable Member, we do. So what we've done, we have a small team, for one, who is dedicated to be able to go through each of these items. But maybe let me just take a one step backwards. So the 5 billion that we're reporting on as
maybe, no, maybe listen to this. Because I think the logical follow-up for the question becomes, in the absence of the requested information that should assist us to engage, how do you see us having a meaningful engagement on those issues?
May I respond to this? So that's why when I wrote the document that accompanied the detail for the 17-18 year, we listed what I call the themes that informs the full balance of electricity and waste from the regular expenditure as reported at the end of March, with the hope that each of these items are going to receive attention based on what they are and the nature thereof. So, and then I wanted to state in one of the sections I deal specifically with the steps that is currently being put in place to address each of those themes over time, per line item, to be able to come back here with regular update reports, who and what was
all right.
Done.
All right. No, that's fine. I'm not taking over from you, comrade. Deputy Minister, I'm sure you follow the drift, because public accounts is not a new animal to you. And I would have imagined that the SABC would benefit from your presence in terms of assisting and guiding them on what is expected. Because we don't deal with generalizations. We want to deal with specifics. If there is a case, a tender that went out irregularly, somebody signed off on it, who is that person? If we don't know who that person is, then our discussion is just a waste of time. I think that is the essence of how we do work. You know, you appear before all manner of committees and people, but here, things are done differently. And that is why our letter is very specific. It's very conscious and deliberate. So when you have a deputy minister who has accompanied you to come and be something else other than SCOPA, I mean, how does this assist us? And I'm deliberately saying Deputy Minister because you are the political head. I would imagine you people met and said these are the things we're going to present to SCOPA. And you are there. You know. You see. And then you're here. It becomes a problem for us to say we will have an engagement that will not be a waste of time, but will be meaningful in the absence of the kind of details that we have requested. We're not ambushing you. We have stated to you this is what we want. So any presentation or explanation that does not answer to what we have requested, it's making our engagement a bit difficult. Now it's giving you the wrong letter. What is the detail? Of course.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, members of SCOPUS. Chair, I think you're very right, and I'm not sure where to start, but yeah, I'm being put under the bus by SCOPUS members. Okay, Chair, the letter that we received in the absence of our minister through our office was very broad and is dated 1 November 2018 to Minister Nomvula Mokonyane. And it says, SCOPUS review of 2017-18 irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. No, I want to talk to what you are referring to. And financial statements of South African Broadcasting. That's the letter we received.
No. That's why I said the letter you're having is the wrong one. Because there's a letter dated the 2nd of November. This one.
Second.
So I do not want us to dispute a correspondence. That's why she responded to the issue of the correspondence. What I'm talking to, I'm saying we have this situation in front of us.
Agreed.
And I'm saying from our side, not having the information that we've requested creates a problem. Now, I was assuming that you have seen this letter and you have seen the presentation. And based on your knowledge and understanding and experience of how we work, would have better advised.
It's unfortunate you don't allow me to talk.
No, well, I don't want you to talk to the letter of the first, because by so saying, you are saying we did not give you our expectations. And I'm saying, no, there was a follow-up letter on the second, this one, which is very specific. It lists A up to F, the things that we wanted.
Okay. Chair, agreed, and I'm being given this letter which is addressed to the chair. But from where we said, knowing and understanding SCOPUS, we developed questions to the SABC because we never thought the SABC have questions directly from SCOPUS. So we developed those. Now from what you're saying, you guided them. And they didn't share with us this guidance, unfortunately. So I'm admitting that we are not directly responding to your request because this one never served to us. Unless if it went to the minister directly and there was an omission from the side of the minister. So we were worried about the broader letter that we received, and from this we developed our own questions as the Deputy Minister's office to them to try and respond on how they dealt with irregular. So unfortunately this wasn't shared with us. So we want to humbly apologize, and I take the responsibility on behalf of the department and the SABC.
There are two documents, and I'm sure I'm covering Comrade Chilwane or Comrade Gekan. On the fruitless and wasteful expenditure as well. But you see, if you take the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it actually does have the column responsible person, Comrade Deputy Minister. It does have the column responsible person. And it's only from number 104 that the responsible person is called Limpopo Finance, not an individual, until 143. But from 144 until 201, there is a name of a person. But then from 2 to 224, okay, it's KZN Finance, yeah, there's also the name of a person. But that's where it ends. Until you go to 304, where there's the name of a person. 305 to 321. Name of a person, they've just written the amount that you find on the extreme right. Not the name of a person, but an amount of money. And then 326, you have a name. 327 to 329, the name is SABC Limited. There is no name of a person there. And after that, I think there are no names as well, let alone the issue of what might have happened to the affected individual. So it's not just the 108 pages on a regular expenditure, but also on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, even though on fruitless and wasteful expenditure there are names that are attached. Now, I don't know if there are issues you want to issue. Come to the suggestion if you should want to be done. Yeah, okay. All right.
Roger. I wanted to ask one question in terms of the action plan. If then the board is more or less over a year now in office, and the last time we engaged with them, they were already in billions of irregular expenditure. And then they managed, when they were doing their financials, they managed to disclose 25 million, and the current expenditure in the current irregular expenditure is 571. Okay, let's just say you are still investigating, you haven't done much. You have gone as far as 25.4 million. Where are the names of the 25.4 million then? And what happened to those people? Because if then that's the case, it means for all this over 12 months, no one has actually paid attention to the Auditor General's findings, except that SIU must do our jobs. And then SABC is going to soon find itself where there was chaos before. And with the current status of the SABC, we really need to deal with issues. Lots of them, in particular, that are related to finances. For any kind of bailout or anything to come to SABC, we need to know that we have a strong hand that's handling the financial. So if you can't account for the 4.9 billion, fair enough, you have gone to 25.4. Who's responsible for it? Thanks. On the 25.4 that you disclosed to Auditor General, where is that one? That particular report. It's a drop in the ocean in terms of the 4.9 billion. Fine. But the one that you disclosed, where did you get it? At least that one you have.
Excuse me, ma'am, if I may just clarify, is that the one that says irregular expenditure under investigation? Is that the 25 you're talking about? That's a specific procurement contract, and it really is not yet concluded. So it's also still, it's literally still under investigation. So we are in the process of trying to identify the responsible individuals.
So are we...
Sorry, Chair. Okay. So in a nutshell, all these 18 areas that the Auditor General has identified, nothing has ever been, not concluded, but you don't know who's responsible for anything of all of those in the 571 billion. Leave the other billions that were not your problem. The one that is your problem.
So, Chairperson, through you. So, really, only 7 of the items as reported on page, under 2.3, page 6, has been concluded and is in the process of going through the various approval processes. The rest all need to be dealt with.
Can you repeat yourself? Which document are you looking at and which page?
Sir, it is page 6 of 11 in the year to date.
This one. All right, yeah. Can you repeat your response?
Thank you, Chair. So in the year to date, the team who is responsible for the investigation have concluded their investigations on these items and is in the process of presenting it to all the relevant governing bodies who need to approve it. But for the rest, and that 571 is made up of nearly 7,000 line items, hence your very long report, each of them needs to be investigated. But we do have a plan. Unfortunately, the plan...
Just to make sure what... all on par. So the items you're referring to, it's the table on page 6.
Sir.
And the ones that you have dealt with are the ones that you say you have approved, that are approved by CFO. That is all of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The 7 items.
Correct.
Okay. Those 7 items are the ones that have been...
which documents are you using? We've been wavering to each other. Tom is not doing her job.
All right. This one?
You don't have it. No, I don't have it. The job is just set.
But Chair, I also have a problem there. Now, these ones are the approved ones for condonation. And yet, perhaps they've been tabled to the portfolio committee. So it means they are satisfied with the reasons why the law was not followed. But that's exactly what we want to know. You may be satisfied yourself. We have another lens to look through it. You approve, we may not approve. Can we get at least that? Who is responsible where? And why was that? Because irregular expenditure, most of the time people say, no, it doesn't mean money is stolen. It just means that something happened and we had to deal with it. But in most cases, it's just a way of dealing. The fact that you are not having an appetite to follow the rules, it means you want to do something wrong. Either you want to take your fend, either you don't want to bid, either you want to expand an unlawful contract. So you approved, we may not approve through our own lens. So that one as well for me, it doesn't sit very well. Can we get the details of those as well?
Certainly. Honourable Member, the detail is available and we can compile it for you and submit.
So, Chair, you can rule on when do they come back so that we can engage meaningfully, because now we don't have information to engage on. When ask SIU to help you, they reported thoroughly on details, who, how much, what happened, consequence, status.
Thank you.
get the documents from all of us, Chairperson. Since you see others are talking, we are just looking around. And I did tell him that she must get documentation.
All right.
Chair, my documentation, I shared it with my chief whip, so it's going to my chief whip. And I indicated that to him whilst I was in the house. So I don't know what argument is it doing. You're supposed to get documentation.
All
you
right.
We have a fruitful meeting.
No, that's fine. Yes, Comrade Deputy Minister.
Chair, I want to establish so that whatever decision that SCOPA arrives at, I'm clear of the expectation of SCOPA. One, there's a letter that SCOPA wrote that specifies all the things that are needed, who did what where. That's one. But two, if you look at the opening balance on the financial statement, page 4 of 11, it speaks about 4.4 billion, and then specific to this financial year, it will be your 571 million. Am I understanding SCOPA to be saying we look at irregular expenditure cumulative? The 4.9 billion rand, and we should then be able to categorize those according to how you want them. Or are we only expected, in terms of this letter, that we look only at the 571, which speaks to this financial aid, so that even when we leave, we know what should we do and be able to attach the schedules accordingly.
Yeah.
Deputy Minister, where is your DG? Because you can't take responsibility. Why is he not answering? Because he thought that they were exchanging with those that the PFMA is directing us to do the work with, the accounting officer. If you are not going to be clear, what is he doing there? Is he a plumb pot or what? Because he's supposed to have guided you before you came to the meeting. If he didn't have clarity, you're supposed to have spoken to the chair then. He can't start now to want to solicit clarity on issues that have long sent letters to him. Can you give us the patience to deal with the officials before we deal with the political heads? Can the accounting officer take responsibility, Deputy Minister? Please. Or we have to interrogate you more than him. And the PFMA is not allowing us to do that. You're not active in the department. And the correspondence is between us and the accounting officer.
All right. No, I hear you, Comrade. But of course, we're coming to that, because what Comrade Mete has done is to say you have not complied, and from what we are seeing, the SAPC has not done what it was supposed to do, because the investigation of irregular expenditure is not done because you're coming to SCOPA. It is done because it has been identified. So all she was saying was that, okay, fine, you have not done your work, but there are 7 items that you say you have investigated. Okay, fine, give us information on those. But fundamentally, our concern is regular expenditure and your compliance with the law, which is that once it is identified as irregular expenditure, firstly, it must be confirmed, and once it is confirmed, it must then be investigated so that it is either condoned or there are people who must be held to account for not following processes. Now, here we're sitting with a figure of 4.9 billion that has not been accounted for. And we want accountability for every cent of that amount, not a particular segment. Now, here is the context, so that people must not think we are just speaking from the clouds. When we went to the SABC, except for one case, almost all the contracts for Sekela Gcabiso were for the investigation and the final determination of the quantum of irregular expenditure. And in the last meeting we had with the SABC at your headquarters, by the end of May, Sekela Gcabiso was supposed to give you the final report on their investigation of all the irregular expenditure. And that was last year. So when we say, give us a schedule on your irregular expenditure about ABCD, our assumption and understanding is that you long had that report last year and you have processed all those things, let alone the 571 which was committed in the last 12 months. So there is no unreasonableness on our part in terms of our expectations. What Comrade Mente was doing, she was merely saying, okay, fine. But when we called you here, our expectation is that you must come and talk to all the things. And may it be clear, we in this committee, we read. And we like reading. So don't think there's a lot of things if we give them, because there's this Chisanyama talk about MPs not reading. It's not us. Maybe others. So when we want information, we say we want details. We don't want generalities, because they don't assist us. So our expectation on you, and that's why the question that Comrade Kekane raised about momentum, continuity, what has happened? Because you are not starting from scratch. There was work that has been done. So our expectation was you came in, you continued, and by now you should long have cleaned and cleared everything. But you look at the report of the Auditor General, what is the qualification issue? Incompleteness of irregular expenditure. So that is the pit we're in. On the very first item of irregular expenditure, which then creates this problem around how do we move forward, and clearly not with what we have. Does not assist us. One details, one information. Now, what we would want to suggest from our side, it's next week Tuesday, 13. Now, you see, Chair, if you don't have this information, then at least you must come and tell us what has happened to the second Gcabiso report, which should have come out by May last year. That would have now May, June, July, but last year should have come out. With everything, so that we have a sense. But I also remember that I'm sure comrades will recall that when the SIU came in, there was this issue of the internal forensic unit of the SABC, which was, in terms of the agreement, given certain aspects of the irregular expenditure to investigate, and specific cases that were referred to the SIU. So what has happened to the work of your internal forensic unit in relation to this irregular expenditure? So that we can answer the question of Comrade Giga. Do we have continuity or you're starting from a clean, you know, today when the Auditor General was saying to us, the current leadership, there's a sense of wanting to get things done. I said to her, you know what, I'm getting dizzy with the new people who have a sense. And in less than no time, they are out, new people come, they all have a sense. But we're not making progress, there's no movement. Because, in relation to what Comrade Kane has asked, we had a sense that the board at that time, as part of assisting to stem the bleeding, was actually doing monthly reconciliation of all transactions. So did that stop? Because now we only have 7 transactions a day.
And Chair, we expected that there was a handover report. Hence, we thought that this is, we're continuing. Because it is still fresh in our minds. We know exactly the issues that we're dealing with. Now, it is as if we are meeting SABC for the first time. And that's not the case. We actually camped there in trying to clean SABC. We have done a lot of work. And the issues that we are asking you are issues that we dealt with, that is, with that interim board and that old executive. And I mean, it's not going to help us now. That is to sit with you here as if we are meeting, that is SAP, for the first time. We want continuity on the issues that we have done, that is, we have been doing. Now, I really don't understand, Chair. That is why I said maybe we need an answer on that one. The momentum, the continuity, the handover report, that is all those issues. So that at least there's sense on what we have been doing.
All right, I had already made a suggestion, but maybe let's talk to what Comrade Kekane was raising, because give us a sense of what is. Give us a sense of the state of things before we tie down the issue of what we think we may need to.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me start maybe by explaining the Sekela Qabiso issue. Sekela Qabiso was helping with irregular expenditure, but it then turns out that the way Sekela Qabiso was commissioned to do work for the SABC was irregular. That's why the whole issue of Sekela Qabiso was then a subject of the SIU investigation. So what then resulted is that the work that they were doing was then stopped because the contract wasn't being investigated. So the team then started doing a lot of work in-house, and that basically affected the momentum. That's one. But in terms of the handover between the interim board and this permanent board, honorable members, you will recall that the interim board members are part of this board. So 4 of them are part of the board. So reality is there was no loss of experience and understanding of where the corporation was. When the chairperson was starting the session, he touched on a number of things that were the themes that you last spoke about, which was, for an example, the issue of stability at the leadership level. Those issues, for an example, were addressed. At the time, we did not have permanent CEO, CFO, and COO. So there has been quite a lot that has been achieved. Unfortunately, when it comes to addressing the issues that you've raised around people that are involved, yes, there hasn't been much progress in finalizing the investigation. But the work that the SIU is doing addresses some of the things. So I wouldn't want to create an impression that there is a loss of momentum in that instance.
All Chilwane, Comrade Boyle, and Ross. But I want us to...
Yeah, Chairperson, my apology. I just wanted... I thought maybe I'm whispering. You wouldn't hear me. I just wanted to suggest that why can't we just get a new date? SABC must just go back and prepare. And then we come back and we engage. Because now we're getting bits and pieces of information. It's not assisting us. Thank you.
I'm sure, Chair, you realize that we are lawmakers. And you are not quoting any law that exempts you from what you're saying. Because you expect anybody to have continuity in terms of the law. There's no new person there. The law, everybody knew that the law functions in this way. And this is what is guiding the SABC. And when we came in, we came and looked at the law and we then said, this is what the law says and this is what is our expectations. When you listen to Advocate Motibi, he was with us in the same meetings there as we were giving him mandate to assist us to do the investigations. And it's out of consistency that he's able to produce a report that makes us happy. You can't say that DG of yours or the CEO can get guidance from the law and be able to guide us that this is what has happened. When we went to the SAPC has been rotten. And we take up that challenge and we made a commitment to help the SAPC to get out of that rot. Now the SAPC can't have sadly no mindset and forget what we've been talking to them in the past. That is terrible, sir. You're taking us down rather than taking us forward. You're not assisting the process of us helping the SAPC to get out of the project. And you're not even using the lawyer, using a thumbsuck approach. And you can't use that to us. Give us the law that makes you to make those assumptions, those statements that I'm making. Go there in the SAPC Act and tell us this is what makes us to act in this particular way. Why not children, sir? Take our work very seriously. See, it's late at night. Because we want to be able to have the SABC so that it's even ready for the elections. But with this type of image, it can't go anywhere. The Deputy Minister knows that the issues of the SOEs are hard. We can't be spending and continuously asking that they must be given money. We must be given money when you can't even have a memory lane. I was thinking what has happened before for you to be in the same state of things. And the next thing you run into is retrenchment. There's a little bit of inconsistency in the way you're dealing with us.
Ross?
Chairperson, when we did visit the SABC on the 27th of June, we also spoke about the going concern status. And if you look, there's two graphs in your presentation that we can just quickly refer to. The one is the depletion of the cash reserves, and you can see that it's regressed immensely over the last year. And then also you recorded a net loss of about 500 million, is it correct? That was the net loss. And if, Chairperson, there's a newspaper clipping indicated that your loss per day is now 1.5 million. Now, those are alarming economic indicators, and we spoke about it a year ago. So the Honourable Boy is quite right to say there was a huge regression in terms of financial progress. And that's the concerning trend that we deal with, and that's what makes us so anxious in this regard. Because certainly, if I don't know, and it was exactly the same topic a year ago, whether you're still able to pay your employees. And if I look at the number of employees, it is... 40% of the expenditure goes to your salary bill, which is 3.1 billion per year, and 3,376 employees, and perhaps freelance people of 2,400. It's a huge responsibility that we acknowledge that time is of the essence, and that we need to get it right. And then we note the irregular expenditure of 571 billion. So it's not good economic indicators that you have to present to us, but in terms of the accountability, benchmarked against what the SIU presented tonight, the progress, it's just that you lack the progress and the continuity. And that is the problem. And but Chairperson, I would like to say that the bit of light in the tunnel is that the Deputy Minister comes from the Finance Department and that she exactly pinpointed and said, let's perhaps make the proposal that we focus on the 571 billion irregular expenditure and not on a million, not on the 4.9 billion. Because if the report of the firm that was mentioned, it is going to take a lot of time. And I think perhaps it's the opportunity for this delegation to play open cards with us tonight. What can we expect? Because there's a call and a proposal from one of my colleagues that I would support, that you go back and prepare and come back to us. But be open to us and to say whether you can present a report on the 4.9 billion, which if you don't have the report, to start afresh for that, it will be an immense workload. And to say, I like the proposal of the Deputy Minister, if she can make that proposal, that we focus on the 571 million in terms of irregular. But certainly that we have some clarity and certainty in that scope through our expertise. And the Chair noted that we read a lot, that we can make some proposals how to assist, to see that we prevent the job losses, but that we see that we get to some functionality in terms of the financial obligations of your institution. Thank you.
All right. I want us to tie this down. Comrade Kifan.
I support the earlier suggestion from Chiloane and Mente that there is a clear letter that we sent to SABC. Let them follow the letter that we sent to them. And maybe as part of the guidance, they should also meet with the interim board if they did not. And maybe deal with the issues that we have dealt with. So that when we meet with them, we want to continue from where we left off. On the issue of the deputy minister is not a functionary. Deputy Minister is an authority, executive authority. The accounting officer is the chairperson. He is the, in terms of the PFMA, the chairperson must account to us here. We are merely suggesting that the Deputy Minister must come in, and I don't know why. The Deputy Minister must just give guidance, but the person who must account to us here, it is that is the chairperson, and that should be very clear.
No, that's fine, comrade. You're agreeing with him. All right. No, that's fine. The date that we prepared for you in the morning, because we could see that this road was taking us to a dead end, is next to Tuesday, the 13th. We want to see movement on the irregular expenditure, not the 517. Because if you are going to deal with the qualification, you must deal with the irregular expenditure and get to the bottom of it. I mean, here the people from the AG must engage them. So from an accountability point of view, we want accountability for every cent that has not been spent properly, as well as the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. If on Tuesday you don't have all that information, we must nonetheless have a discussion on how this thing is handled, because it's not as if you can just ignore it and it will just fade. It will remain there until you act on it. I don't want to say that your management is paid handsomely. So we must see the output of the investment that on a monthly basis the SABC put on you. But I also do want to add that we don't want to talk, we don't want to just talk about irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure, because then we'll be talking of it in isolation. I'm just saying, prepare yourself on the basis of your annual report and the report of the AG. And Tina, Community Deputy Minister, will not send questions. This is their report. They wrote it. They should talk to it. So go and revisit your annual report and the report of the AG and the financial statement. Because the irregular expenditure happens in the context of all the other witnesses that are there. So we need to talk to all those issues. Otherwise, if you just investigate the irregular expenditure and give us a report, and yet the environment that enables it is not spoken to and you're not demonstrating how you're dealing with it, then we're just wasting time. So we want, and because here's the question, if you only have investigated this seven, the work of your internal audit unit on a daily basis, what are they doing? Fine, maybe they are busy with current things, but what is their level of capacity? You are qualified, ever since the AG took, you are qualified on a regular expenditure. I would imagine that that will be your area of singular focus. But it's almost like you're focusing on everything else except that part. So we want you to, so that when you tell those workers that who are retrenching you, they must be satisfied that there is nothing else that you could do rather than having money, you know. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. We accept responsibility that we've got to go prepare and come back and present. But there is a bit of a challenge with Tuesday. We humbly requesting another date, because Tuesday the 13th, there is another confirmed engagement that we can't get out of. The delegation that is here needs to be the same delegation that attends.
Come here. Come. Yeah, I'm listening. Oh, you're saying Tuesday is not the...
It's not possible.
Just. Chair, can we go to Wednesday?
Sorry, ma'am. Hello? There's only one chat person here. There's that chat person. Can you talk to him? Now I'm referring to this lady. There's only one chat person here. That chat person. If you want to raise issues.
All right. No, that's fine. The 14th. We're prepared to shift what is in our program. I'm looking at the chairperson of the board.
The CFO wanted to.
I'm talking. No. I'm talking to the chairperson. Isn't it the 13th you said you have a pre-confirmed engagement? So I'm coming back to you. I'm saying the 14th.
Thank you, sir. The 14th is fine.
It's fine. Yes. All right. And that settles it. Now, we're not going to
send you another letter. I hope it has been properly captured in relation to our expectations. I said the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But also, let's talk to the annual report and the report of the Auditor General. All the matters that have been raised there, because we cannot talk to irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure in isolation to some of these challenges that that are there. And then we'll take it up from there.
Can we also agree that at least by Monday we receive the documents? Because we don't work like a portfolio committee. We don't work on their presentation. We start the documents on our own.
All right. If we're going to get information, please, next time, let's get it in spreadsheet format. It becomes called Excel. All right, makes life easier for us to be able to quickly go through and identify, pick up trends and all that stuff. All right, comrades, understand. I want us to bring it to a close and to thank you very much for coming. But to indicate that it is, you know, Chair, I also have my own challenges in how I manage the people around me. Yeah, I just want to say. And especially you comrades, just to remember that when we first met with the SABC, you recall that we had a management team that was very contemptuous of us, who could see from their body language. But we told them that they were going to fall. And now when I look at the FIU report, I see some of the names people were giving us dirty looks, and well, things have come to pass. I just want to stress that we are very kind and good comrades. It's only just that we want accountability, and when it comes to that, there's no two ways about it. So let us be clear that when it comes to accountability, our expectations are well defined. That's where it starts and that's where it ends. So let's go and prepare with that in mind in terms of what we